Soundstripe.
Back to That's Relatable. My name is Brooke, and I like to just kind of sit here and talk about things that we all go through, just difficult things we face, good, bad, ugly, whatever, and just kind of hash them out in hopes of giving someone encouragement and, yeah, just trying to bring some positivity back into a world where sometimes it might be hard to see that. So I'm going to jump right in, but before I get there, I've got to say, we finally have gotten there at this time in the school year. It happens every stinking single year, where for those of you who don't know, I am also a high school algebra teacher, and every year it somehow breaks, the code is cracked, it's leaked, whatever, the students find out about my podcast, and you know what, it finally happened. I had a few students just giggling about it in class the other day, and I'm like, you little stinking turds, why don't you go do your homework or do something other than creeping on your algebra teacher? Oh, but it had to make me laugh because it is something that I just like almost just anticipate at this point. Just knowing like, oh boy, brace yourself. At some point, you're going to have a bunch of 15-year-olds laughing at you. And we are finally there. So students, if you're listening, go do your homework. Okay. Go get your Delta math done. But no, I had to give that a little, or give them, I should say, a little shout out because they were, you know, all giggly about it this week. And it was actually kind of funny, but I always kind of wait until they catch on to it and they find it, but it's finally happened. So we'll buckle up and guess what? It'll happen again in about a year or so with my next students. But no, today I just wanted to take some time and talk about the topic of shame and how sometimes we can be just wildly hard on ourselves and we can do something embarrassing or something that we're not proud of where, you know, we let that frustration and that embarrassment and that shame kind of fester in us, and it really starts to affect our lives and the way that we react to other situations, the way that we communicate with others. And I think it's wildly important to address this because a lot of times when we do something wrong or when we make up mistakes or when we make mistakes, it's almost like we feel, if you're like me anyways, you feel almost like a duty to kind of not discipline yourself, but like just let yourself sit in it for a little bit. Like if I mess up and I know I've done something wrong, I almost feel like it's part of the process and I deserve to sit in the shame. I deserve to sit there and just acknowledge the fact that, oh my gosh, Brooke, you messed up. You're so dumb. Like, how dare you? And I'm really, really bad about beating myself down. And I think that's a really common thing, especially when you are a perfectionist. And I know tons of people who are the same way in the fact of like, we're just perfectionists. We have an idea, an expectation, something that we try to hold our standards up to. And anytime we slip and make mistakes because we're human, it is kind of hard to overcome. And by kind of hard, I mean like wildly difficult. So I guess I can't even think of one specific time that I've just felt shame and embarrassment. But I mean, seriously, it's because there's been so many where I overreact about something, or like I'm thinking back to my high school years when, you know, you're so overly concerned about what everyone else is thinking about you or how you're being perceived and what your reputation is. And I try to like tell my students nowadays that, you know what, give it 4 years when you're out of this building, like you mature so much and you'll come to grips with the fact that not everyone is even thinking about you. Like you're not the main character in everybody's story and you don't have to worry so much about what other people think. But in the midst of those years, especially even in adulthood, it's really, really easy to start wondering what other people think about you, or you kind of come up with a narrative on how people perceive you. And, you know, it's really, really difficult to overcome those times when you feel like you've messed up. And so, like I've said, I think back to my high school years when I did something stupid, if I overreacted, if I said something out of anger, if I gossiped and I knew I shouldn't have been, like, you know, those little things that kind of stick with you, and you know in your gut that, oh crap, I just messed up, or oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed with how I just represented myself. kind of a funny one. This is honestly not that much shame, but I felt kind of bad after. Mike, my husband, makes fun of me because we were in like a little fender bender several years ago, fresh out of college. We didn't have our kids yet or anything, and I know we were just newly married, so it was within the first year of being married. But we got into a little fender bender, and oh, my kids are singing. If you can hear that, just enjoy it. That's what we get 24/7 here. But no, I remember being in this fender bender, and like before we got out the car to try to talk with the people who hit us, it was not our fault. I told my husband, like, okay, stay calm. Like, don't even talk to them. Like, we were both ticked off about what happened because this guy was being an idiot. And I don't know what literally happened. I flip switched in my brain. And here I am telling Mike, like, be careful. Like, not be careful, but just don't say anything stupid. Stay calm, blah, blah, blah. We got out of the car to talk with these people. And I lost my ever-living crap. Like, he will tell you, if you go bring this story up to him, he will know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it's like I said, a flip switched in my brain, and I went freaking ballistic on these kids. And I don't even know, like, I can't even put words to it, but I was pissed. And so I just remember getting done with that conversation, getting back in the car. We had settled our stuff. We knew insurance, what we were going to do, the next steps forward. And Mike just looked at me and was like, dude, you're freaking crazy. Like, what did you just do? You went ballistic. Like, me stay calm, you stay calm. And we laugh about it now, like at this point. But like, I was freaking embarrassed after it was all said and done. I was like, okay, wow. Like, I did not represent myself right. I did not represent God well in order for me to consider myself a Christian, call myself a Christian, and then just to go out and go ape crap on these kids. Like, yeah, not the best representation of a Christian and of God. So that was something that I was like, oh, wow, that's actually embarrassing. I hope I never see these people again. And that's just a very lighthearted minor incident, when there have been several other incidents where I have literally felt sick to my stomach. Like I said, I wish I could think of a better example, but I just remember in high school, like, being sick to my stomach, just, oh, I said something stupid. Oh, I reacted out of anger. Oh, I look so dumb. And just sitting in that shame and like just letting it become my identity for a while, just letting it be like, oh yeah, hi, I'm that girl who did something really stupid and embarrassing. Like, just ignore me. Like, I put that on my name tag, essentially, like as if I had a name tag and I was introducing myself to other people I've never met. Hi, I'm that girl who did something really stupid. Like, that's just how much I let it become part of myself. And as an adult now, and being able to kind of go through those scenarios again, and still not being perfect to this day by any means, still doing things that make me feel embarrassed or shameful, I've really had to come to grips with the fact that shame is not a godly thing. It is not an emotion from God. It's not something He bestows upon us. Like, He does not want us to feel that shame and to feel that, like, embarrassment and just, and that gut-wrenching, just like, oh, like, I feel stupid feeling. And I found this quote that I really liked, and it's simple and it's to the point, but it says, shame says I'm bad, whereas conviction says I did something wrong, but I can change. And I think of that because there's a very big difference between those two definitions. Now, conviction is something from God. Absolutely. If you feel convicted, like, oh crap, I'm called out on this, that's like something from the Holy Spirit where I know I need to address this. That is different than just letting yourself soak in this idea of, gosh, I'm stupid, gosh, I'm bad, gosh, I'm embarrassing. That's when it becomes something from the enemy. And not only does it come from the enemy, but it leads us into actions that further our relationship from God. So it can, you know, it can isolate us. It can isolate us from God. It can isolate us from our friends, from our family, from people who would help us kind of overcome those feelings. And it can cause us to turn away from even repenting and feeling like we can go to God with whatever kind of mistake that we've made. And so, I don't know. Another thing I've heard before too is this idea of, like, you know, you understand, or you have a good relationship with God, not a good relationship, but like a
like a better understanding of how your relationship should be with God when you make a mistake or you do something wrong or you sin or whatever it is. And instead of thinking, oh my gosh, I messed up. I need to like hide this. I don't want him to know this. Instead of that perspective, you look at it through the lens of, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I need to go to him with this right away. Like I need to take this to him so he can fix it because yikes, I did something bad. And there is something so comforting in that idea, in my perspective, of just knowing that like God does not expect us to be perfect. I mean, that is just like the tip of the iceberg, right? That's the whole reason for Jesus. Like he knew that we would never be able to live up to his standards. We are so far from perfect. There's just zero chance that we are ever going to be perfect. And that's the whole reason he had to send Jesus to die on the cross for us, right? And so that thought alone is actually wildly comforting to me. Just knowing that, yes, we want to try to do our best for him and we want to try to avoid sinning. We want to do the best and work for him. But also we can rest in the knowledge knowing that he is not expecting us to be perfect. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're going to be embarrassed and mess up and say stupid things and react out of anger and gossip and be nasty and do things that are not of him in his ways. He knows that already. And so to even act like that's something we can hide from him is just, it's stupid, right? Like there's zero point in trying to act like, oh, I'm good. I'm perfect. I got this. No, you don't. And you probably can admit that to yourself, right? It's hard to admit that to one another. But again, we all know it about each other, right? There's zero chance that we have any ability to be perfect on our own. We just can't. And so I think there is something wildly comforting about knowing that when you make a mistake, not if you make a mistake, but when you do not have to sit in that shame. And you can absolutely, not only can you, but you should turn to God immediately and say, look here, like I just messed up. Because another thing that we have to acknowledge and something that brings me comfort is it makes him proud for us to take things to him. It makes him happy and he knows that we love him when we can just come to him with our mess, right? We don't have to try and hide anything. We're authentic with him. We're genuine with him. We rely on him and we take comfort in him. That's part of a loving father relationship. And so when we can use that and apply that in our relationship with him, that's what he's here for, guys. And I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that those shameful thoughts that we have and those feelings that we have, they aren't from him. They are not feelings that he wants us to have. He doesn't ask us to be shameful. It's not anything that he wants us to have to deal with. He wants to deal with it for us. So now that I feel like we know how to acknowledge our shame and bring it before God and repent, I think the next important thing is being able to like accept his forgiveness. Because you know he is faithful and just and he'll forgive you when you bring things to him, right? But I really, really struggle with this, especially when it comes to those like repeated offenses, like the stupid freaking things that as much as I don't want to do them, I keep doing them. The stupid things that make me feel so embarrassed and like hypocritical to even call myself a Christian. Like, I know several of you will be able to relate to this in the sense of like parenting and freaking exploding and just like reacting, overreacting a lot of times with your kids. I mean, that's a huge one for me. And I kick myself every single time. And even thinking about it now, I just feel like a big old freaking D-bag. Because if you're a parent, you know, obviously, like how, like there truly are no words to how much you love your kids. Like it's something that you hear about all the time before you have kids. And you never fully can understand like the depths of that love until you have your own kids. Like, I don't know truly how to put it into words. And so when I react out of anger or just being overstimulated. That seems to be like a big trendy term right now, but it's true. When I react out of frustration or just busyness or just I'm overstimulated and just frustrated, like that kills me every time. And let me tell you, it happens a lot. And at the end of the day, obviously I'm biased, but I have the best kids in the world. And every night, Bristol, our oldest, she always is telling us, like both Mike and I, you're the best mom and dad ever. I love you more than the moon and the stars. You're the best, but like over and over and over again. Like it doesn't even faze her sometimes, it seems like, which I'm glad because I never want either of our kids to question our love for them just because we overreact and we get angry and cranky. And so it's from that perspective, it's always reassuring and comforting. But from my own perspective of being a perfectionist and knowing that my kids deserve the world, like I beat myself up over that. That's embarrassing. If some people heard the way I explode at my kids sometimes, they would look at me sideways. And maybe that sounds extreme. I don't just sit there like berating my kids, obviously. And again, it's not necessarily like a sin to get angry or impatient, but to an extent, like we are called as Christians to represent Jesus and to be patient and kind and have self-control, right? And so no, maybe it's not a sin, but it's still embarrassing to know that I am lacking in the areas where I should be, you know, doing well as a Christian, and I should be representing Jesus well in those, in that way with those attributes. And that's hard to admit to myself. That's hard to take to God sometimes. I talk to Mike about it all the time, and obviously he's the best too and is always reassuring, but that's one of those things where I take it to God and I'm like, dude, like I messed up again. Like I just, my patience is non-existent sometimes, and I'm embarrassed and I'm shameful for that. And I want to do better, but I keep making the same stupid mistake because I get frustrated. Like how dumb of an excuse is that? And so to take that to God and for him to offer forgiveness, but not even like forgiveness in that case, just like comfort. Like sometimes I feel unworthy of that comfort. Like I messed up. I feel stupid. And to be quite honest, I think I'm the hardest on myself in those scenarios than anybody else is. Like everybody else kind of lets it roll off their back. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to accept forgiveness sometimes when we feel so stupid and so shameful and embarrassed about mistakes that we've made or things that we've done that maybe can... I don't know, just just taint, I guess, the way that people look at us. And so I have to constantly remind myself that like the enemy wants us to feel trapped in guilt, like feeling shameful and feeling like I'm not worthy of this forgiveness is not from God. Absolutely not. And it's one of those things that when I feel sneak into my mind, I have to consciously hand that over to God. And it's not just like a one and done deal. Like it's like consistently over and over and over again, I have to fight that thought of you're not worthy of the forgiveness. You messed up. You should feel stupid. And I think that's something a lot of us deal with, but really biblically, like we are worthy of his forgiveness because of his grace. Like I should rephrase that. We're not worthy, but because of his grace, we get his forgiveness. And we don't have to sit in that guilt, and we don't have to sit in that shame, and we absolutely do not have to let that become our identity. And not only should we don't have to, but we shouldn't, right? Like that's not what he has in store for us. That's not part of his will, right? And so I think back to the verse, and I have it here in front of me. It's Isaiah 1:18. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And yeah, that sounds nice, and it sounds reassuring and comforting, and it's truth, and so I believe it, but it is hard for me to feel like that's okay sometimes. We are, you know, human, where we want a justification kind of system, like, you deserve what you get kind of thing. Like, that's very much so my mentality, and I'm not saying it's always right, but
for someone like God to openly forgive when sometimes I don't feel worthy of it, it's a hard pill to swallow. But that's what Jesus does, right? That's what he does. That's what he came to do, to forgive us, to, you know, break the chains of shame and of guilt and of things that we've messed up on, right? And so, not to get totally off topic, but that's why it kills me sometimes for people who aren't Christians or people who seem like they actually hate Christianity to talk so negatively about Jesus, because it's like, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing the love. You are missing everything that he's here to give us. And it's meant for them too, that they just can't see it. They've just got like, I don't know, it's a roadblock. They just can't see past this idea of who they think Jesus is, when in reality, he's so incredibly loving and forgiving and comforting, convicting, yes, but not a God of shame. And I have to pull out those truths from the Bible so many times when I get myself down in the dumps and I am embarrassed by things that I've done. And so I think another thing we have to take away from our shame and our guilt is not dwelling on it in embarrassment, but asking, what can I learn from this? What can I do better? How can I adjust this? And not even that, but sometimes, where is this stemming from? Like, why do I feel so, aggravated and frustrated? And a lot of times it's because I had a bad work day, or, I didn't finish whatever stuff I needed to at work before I left. And it always stems from somewhere else. And that's important to recognize so that we can kind of get to the matter of where all the anger and maybe frustration and the reactions are coming from, and deal with that at hand, rather than, you know, just say, oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do this? I can't believe I did this again. Well, ask yourself, what can I learn from this? Where is this coming from? How can I address it? And how can I do better tomorrow? And I think a lot of that also comes from being in God's word. Like, I cannot stress to people enough how different I feel when I read God's word and on days when I don't. And the best way I can explain it is for anyone who works out. Okay, if you're trying to start a workout routine, it sucks, right? Getting into a new habit is always really difficult to do. It's hard to get into a new habit. You got to prioritize it, make the time for it. And it's hard to do, right? But once you get into a routine of working out, it's something that you don't even think twice about. And if you miss a workout from that point on, it starts to eat at you. And you're like, oh my gosh, if you're anything like me anyways, you're like, oh my gosh, I got to go work out. I got to get going. Like, I haven't done it in several days. I'm feeling antsy. I just feel off. I don't feel good about myself or my like mental well-being right now. Like, I need to go move my body. That's exactly how it is with reading the Bible now. It's a hard habit to start. You have to prioritize it. You have to make time for it. You have to make it something that you're not, it's like a non-negotiable, right? It has to be something on your schedule every day. But if you skip a day or two or three, you start to feel it. And I have no explanation other than it's just the word of God. It is a living, breathing book, which sounds wild. And I've never understood that phrase. I've heard it before several times growing up, like, oh, it's the living word of God. Blah, blah. I'm like, dude, it's a book. What are you talking about? No, something happens when you read that word consistently. And I think that's huge in being able to renew our mind, right? We need to renew our mind with God's truth. And his truth tells us that we are forgiven when we bring our sins and shame to him and we repent. Right? So just being able to tap into that resource and really acknowledge what he's telling us is huge. Once we can do that, it's like a weight off your shoulders. Seriously. It finally gives you permission to not be embarrassed, to not be ashamed, to not let it become your identity. And then you can finally walk in confidence again. Okay? And that part, again, it's not always easy, because it's really, really stinking easy to let other people's opinion hold you back. And so
especially if others are around to witness your weak moments, or however you want to call it. If other people are there and they've seen you do whatever you did to be embarrassed or ashamed, that's hard. That's incredibly hard, right? But we have to remember that God sees our heart, and we can't get tied up in what everyone else is going to think about us. And, you know, Jesus lived a perfect life and people still thought negatively about him. So not to say that we're perfect, because we're obviously not, but my point is we can't care about what people think. It is so much freaking easier said than done. But Galatians 1:10 tells us, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? And if you sit and think about that for a second, that's all you really need, right? Like, are we trying to approve or get the approval of each other? Are we trying to get the approval of each other? Or are we trying to get the approval of God? Okay, there's your answer. So we can't keep dwelling on what we're afraid everyone else is going to see us as. In fact, maybe it's best to acknowledge it in front of them and to say, hey, yep, I look like an idiot and I'm a human. But the good thing is I got a good God. And if it weren't for him, I'd still be doing these stupid things. You know, I think we have to normalize the fact that Christians are so far from perfect, but that's why we're Christians, right? That's why we need a savior, because we mess up 24/7. And if you want to talk about being embarrassed or being ashamed, dude, look at Paul. Okay, so Paul was formerly known as Saul in the Bible, and he persecuted Christians. He wanted them executed. He was totally against Christians until he converted into a Christian himself. And you want to talk about someone who should be embarrassed? Well, Paul had every reason to sit down and hide in the background, right? Instead, he becomes like a huge apostle of Jesus. And he goes about, oh gosh, I don't even know all the regions, but he travels and he preaches Jesus' word. And he becomes a huge reason that people are converted into Christianity and that they come to know Jesus. Whereas had he sat in that shame, like the enemy probably wants him to, none of that would have happened. And so we have to, again, be willing to just set that aside, acknowledge it, don't deny it, because we're not perfect. And again, that's part of the beauty of being a Christian, is you get to take all that to God, right? You give that to Jesus and it's gone. But my point was, if he would have sat in that shame and just let that be his identity, I mean, trust me, he had more reason to be ashamed than any of us do, right? Like, I would think that's probably true, right? No one's out here persecuting Christians. Anyone listening to this, I would say he probably has more reason to be ashamed and hide in the background than any of us. And yet he doesn't. He uses that as a testimony to God's goodness, because God helped him turn from those ways and was able to actually do something really, really good with it. So I think we just have to remember that we're not our mistakes. They don't define us. God's loved us, right? We don't become our mistakes. Everyone does something stupid. You're going to be embarrassed. It's not the first time. It's probably not the last. And guess what? It's okay, because every stinking person is in that same boat. So with that being said, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I hope you found something encouraging through this. Just remember, you guys, you're not called to be in shame. Right? God is not a God of shame. Conviction, yes. And again, that's something to acknowledge and to repent and take to God. And, you know, it's not something to be chained by, though. And thank God we have a good God who's full of grace and forgiveness, because obviously we're not worthy of it a lot of times. But you guys hear my kids? I think they're trying to sneak on me. All right. I guess that's my sign. Hopefully you guys found something encouraging through this. And as always, thank you guys for hanging out and for listening to this. If it helped you, I want to know if you could shoot me a message or just leave a comment, or I don't even know fully how you can spread this episode around. But if it's something you enjoyed or something that you found helpful, it's always nice to know that. So thanks again for hanging out. I love you guys to pieces, and we will do this again later.